Bobinger, and this is Jack Bobinger. Today is February the 15th, 2019. This interview is taking place at the home of Nell Wilkerson in Livingston, Texas, and is sponsored by the Polk County Historical Commission as an oral history project. Nell, you had a birthday recently and turned 103 years old. So you've seen many changes and have witnessed a lot of the great events that have taken place. But what are some of your earliest memories of life here in Livingston?
When I was growing up, there were no paved streets, no street lights, and no laws that kept cattle from running. I remember my mother loved roses, and she had a lot of them growing around the house. And there was an old cow kept going in and eating her roses. And Daddy found something, I think at a hardware store, called High Life. And Mama sneaked out there one day and sprayed it on the old cow. She ran out of the yard with her tail up in the air and never came back. And in between our house and town, where the police station is, there was a big framework Methodist church. And beyond that, my mother's uncle named John Manning had a house, and he also had a stable where he kept cattle and horses. And those animals would do their business, and he'd sweep it out into that dirt sidewalk. Well, somebody complained enough that he built up a wooden fence. And then down toward town, somebody had a law office right next to the railroad track. And eventually it became a barber shop. And when buses first began coming through Livingston, they had a bus stop right there. And then on toward town, a Dr. B.C. Marsh had an office. And what was the east of that? Stairways going up to the telephone company, which was upstairs, and then the First National Bank. And a man named Tom Coleman had a barber shop, and on the corner was a drugstore.
Who owned that drugstore, do you remember?
I think it was a man named Delaney, but I couldn't swear to it. Okay.
Did the buses start running before there was any paving?
I don't remember when the buses started running.
Okay.
But we also always had trains, and twice a day we had passenger trains through here.
You were born at home.
Yes.
So you were born in your home that was right there where about, well, you said where the police station is. So you were downtown among everything and the churches and the school. Where was the school?
Well, it may be still standing. You know where the J.W. Cochran house was?
Yes.
Just east of that was a water tank. And then that school, and they called it the Alamo School.
Okay. So that was that where you went to high school?
As I went to elementary and high school.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have a junior high. You just went from elementary school to high school.
What was the transportation like in your earliest memories? Were there very many cars Livingston? Almost nothing. Or were there any cars?
Very few.
Very few. And so wagons and buggies.
Yeah. The first car my daddy owned was a Model T Ford. And it didn't have roll-up windows. It had some kind of a curtains that you snapped on. And one time we were taking a trip to Houston to see my mother's sister. And it began to rain. And Daddy said by the time he got those things snapped on and got back in the car, the rain had quit.
So you all, as a large family, took road trips to visit relatives?
That's about the only place we went.
What were some of the social get-togethers that you remember?
Very few. My friends and I would have birthday parties. And when Jean and I began to date at age 16, they didn't want us to go out with boys. So everybody would come to my mother's house. She would have a lot of different kind of cookies and make a big pitcher of lemonade. And the boys got to where they didn't want to take us out. They'd rather go to our house and eat cookies.
What were some of the things that you would do besides eat your cookies? And I mean, what were some of the activities when you would have a 16-year-old birthday party?
Roller skating.
Oh.
There was a big roller skating rink behind where the City Cafe is. Had a wooden floor. And in the summers, Livingston was the big tomato-growing community. And the railroad ran a spur that went up in there. And they'd push back boxcars in there. And farm kids would stand there and wrap those tomatoes in little squares of paper and pack them up. Jean and I always wanted to do that. But Daddy wouldn't let us. He said those other kids needed the money and we didn't. And it was after they would... tomato season was over that it became a skating rink.
Was that behind the old Cochran building?
Yes.
Okay.
It was.
Okay. Wasn't there a cucumber pickling plant there too, close by?
I don't remember one. Could have been.
Okay. Do you remember some of the revivals that they would hold at the church that was near where you lived?
Yes, I do. And at one time there was a vacant lot across from my mother's, and a traveling preacher would come in there and put up a tent. And you could hear him for two blocks away. He talked so loud.
So you could almost listen from your
window. Sit on the porch and hear him.
Yeah, yeah. And the singing, I guess, was good. What are some of your memories about Christmas celebrations? And family gatherings at Christmas time.
We always had a big family gathering. My mother had a brother and two sisters living in Houston. One of them, my aunts, had two sons, and they always came for Christmas. One of them was a great cook. He'd make the best fruit cakes, and my grandmother always made an eggnog. She had two brothers living over in Trinity County that had a stable in Trinity. And they lived out in the country and had a still. And they'd pack up whiskey in quart fruit jars, bring my grandmother three or four or five to do her for a year. And my grandmother would make eggnog. My mother did for years. And then my son discovered you could buy it already made. So he brings me some at Christmas.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
I love eggnog. So would you would your family put up the tree early, or was your tradition for Christmas Eve?
Well, Daddy would take us out into the woods to find the perfect pine tree, and we'd put it up and decorated it. Didn't have lights on it, but I remember Mother would cut out of colored, what is it you use, construction paper?
Yes.
And she'd decorate it, put glue on it and put glitter.
And it was a...
Would she make little, like, chain links with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She did. And she had a cookie cutter that was a star. And she'd trace around that.
And cut out from construction
cut them out.
Paper. What are some of your school... I know you played saxophone in the high school.
Yeah, I did.
And tell us about that.
Well, I learned to play the piano first when I was 7 years old. I started taking lessons. And one day, Daddy came home from the bank with a saxophone. And some man had borrowed money to pay for the saxophone. And he decided he didn't want to play it. So Daddy brought it home, and he learned to play it, and then he taught me to play it. And I played it in high school. When I went off to college, I took it with me. And played when I was up there, played in a marching band.
When you were still here in Livingston in high school, though, did you all go away as a band group to play at
Not in
sports,
high school.
Not in high school.
Was your saxophone, was it a straight-bodied saxophone, or was it a curved-neck saxophone?
Curved neck.
And both of your parents were in the community concert band, weren't
yeah.
they?
Mother played the piano and the organ. Teddy played the violin and some kind of a horn he called a bass horn. And when Alan was coming up, he learned to play that same horn. And isn't it in the museum?
It is, yes. We have it on display with our guests. And we thank your family for it. Do you have, did you have a very special school teacher that in
yes,
your
I
memory
did.
Today that was
my
the one?
My English teacher was named Ruth Cannon.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell you, she knew every word in the dictionary. And she'd start out with the A's and explain them to us. If we came to a word that had something to do with the human body, she'd say, your mother will tell you about that. Oh, goodness.
And that was, she later became Ruth Pritchard. Yes,
yes.
Many, many young people in and older people in Livingston remember Miss Pritchard.
And,
yes, yes, yes. You and your sister Jean both worked at the First National Bank also for
Jean worked as a teller. And at that time, they had a man working there named Beeman Davis, and he was the treasurer secretary of the school board. And he would take minutes, but he wrote left-handed. Hardest stuff to read, you have stuff. But when he found out I could type, he'd have me come down there, and I'd spend my summers retyping all that stuff. He'd pay me $20. It'd take me all summer, which is not much pay.
Well, it might have been good then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was that the same Davis that owned the Davis hardware, or?
No, that was a different Davis.
Do you have stories that you remember your dad telling about, I know you had your grandmother and great-grandmother at one time, I think, that lived in the home with you all, Eliza.
Well, we had two grandmothers.
Eliza.
I don't remember a great-grandmother.
Okay. Was that Mrs. McGee and...
Peebles.
Okay. Amanda.
Her name
Amanda.
Was Kate Peebles.
Okay.
But her first grandchild couldn't say Danny. No, wait, she couldn't say Granny. And she started calling her Danny, and that's what we called her.
And they came from Mississippi, didn't they?
No, that was my mother's people.
Okay.
I don't know where Danny came from. I know she was born in Jackson County.
Okay.
In Texas.
Okay. Well, did your dad pass on stories about the family, the people's family, coming to Texas?
He told us a lot of times that they came, twin brothers, Riley and Wiley, came over here from Peebles, Scotland. Always wanted to go there. I can't think where they landed. I think he said North Carolina, eventually into Alabama and then into Texas.
Yes. Was there a person that you feel influenced your life? Who would be the person that you think influenced your life more than anybody else?
My parents first, and then Ruth Cannon Pritchard.
As your teacher.
When she was 12 years old, she wanted to be a teacher. And she would get me and Jean and sit us down on the front steps, and she would sit there. By the time I started school, I could add and subtract, and I knew the alphabet.
So she started early, long before
really?
Leaving here to go to college, and she was, her mind was made up and already influencing.
That's right.
Nell, what are some of the things that you see as the greatest changes in people from your early days until today?
Well, they're more educated, for one thing. And I've never seen anybody spit on the tobacco on the sidewalk.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah.
But there've been a lot of changes. You've in your lifetime,
right.
you've witnessed all those events of men going to the moon and lots and lots of things. Were you ever going back to growing up here? Were you ever a part of the young people that had picnics that sometimes would last for several days?
No, ma'am.
So your parents, you and your sisters and your brother didn't really, you all more had young people come into your home than
right.
you were out with them. Do you remember when the first movie theater came to Livingston?
I do. It was called the Fane Theater. And the first movie Daddy took us to see was The Ten Commandments. And the words came on the screen, and Daddy'd sit there and read them to us.
So it was silent.
Yeah,
it was a silent movie. And what about the old opera house? Did you go to some events there?
Where was the opera house?
Well, it was in the block between Main Street and 146, sort of on Mill Street, but there was an opera house at one time, and they had some types of entertainment.
Yeah.
So I wondered if you all.
No, I don't ever remember going there.
But the Fane Theater at that time was located. It's not the same one we have today.
No,
where
was
it located?
Main Street, next to where the Livingston Drugstore was. And when they built the new theater, I think there was a law office in there. And up above the drugstore, a doctor had an office. I'm not sure who he was.
Dr. Gardner was one of the ones,
yeah.
but not an earlier one, I imagine.
Yeah.
But about how many people would that theater hold if it was full?
Probably 100.
So it was, and would they have a different movie every week? Or
yeah, they did.
Did you
a
get
lot
to
of
go
Western
often?
Movies.
Did you get to go often to it, or was
no.
that a special occasion?
Just special occasions.
Yeah. Did you catch the train in Livingston and make any trips to other places?
Yes. I used to go to Cleveland. My grandmother Peebles lived there with her daughter, Emma Kennedy. And my Uncle Harley was station master for the Southern Pacific. And as soon as the morning passenger train came in, he would close it up, and when I heard the train whistle and walked two blocks there, there was a good bakery in Cleveland, made the best cherry pies I ever ate. And we'd buy a cherry pie, take it to my aunt's, and they had a cow, and she'd whip cream and just smear it all over that pie.
Well, Nell, I think we've covered a lot of territory, and it's
you probably
been,
heard a lot you didn't want to hear.
Oh no! It's all interesting to me. I know for many years you were gone from here, and then you came back to Livingston, and became very involved in our museum and the
yeah.
Heritage Society, and worked and. Have for many years enjoyed it.
Yeah. I can't remember when Will and I came back here. It was when he retired from Pensaw and we built this house. I just can't remember what year that was.
Yeah. But you've enjoyed your life back.
Very, very much.
Back at home.
It was
in
nice
the tiny
to get
woods.
Out of Houston, I
yeah.
tell you.
When you were a young lady, how far did the town of Livingston extend? I mean, what was the basic boundary between town and country?
The line at that time was up where Cemetery Hill is. Somebody told me now it's way out here by Lakeside Village, and I don't know where it went to the north. There used to be a town up there called Buck, right on the highway.
That was a sawmill town,
wasn't yeah, it was.
Yes. Did you go there for any reasons? Did your family?
No, I think the sawmill was all that was there.
Probably so, yeah.
But I had family in Moscow.
Something
happened to us earlier.
Some of your some of your settlers, ancestors actually settled first in
yes,
Moscow.
Did. And settled in Goodrich.
In Goodrich,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Peebleses yeah. did. My mother's people settled in Moscow.
And that was Green.
Yeah.
That actually was the name of the town before it became Moscow.
I think it was.
After your grandfather or great. So you have a long history here in Polk County and have certainly. I remember working together with you and your sisters when they brought the old Jonas Davis cabin in.
Yes.
Off the lake, and we did the mud chimney, and the little Boy Scouts helped one day, and we cooked beans and had a bean fundraiser.
Oh,
and
goodness.
So I have good memories of working with with you on all kinds of history projects.
Who was it that lived down close to the railroad track? Helen somebody.
Malone.
Malone. She was a big quilter, and I loved to quilt. And the only place she had to set that quilting frame up was on her front porch. And just across the street was the train. And back then, the train burned coal, and that old smoke that came out of it was awful. And when Helen would hear it blowing, she'd get a sheet and spread over the quilt.
Yeah, she was a sweet lady, and she did love her quilts, that's for sure. Well, Nell, this has been interesting to hear what you've had to say. And,
well, it's been interesting to say it.
And I hope you've had fun with it.
I did.
Thinking about these things. So this will conclude our interview.